the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, brothers from Oklahoma. Blessings.
Amen. Amen. And hey, had a little praise report. Had a blessed week here and got the orders in, doing the orders. Had one member of our ministry had ordered six of your books, Pastor Cox. One for her. And she was passing five out to family members, and so we got those right out on the fast boat, you might say. And so praise the Lord. There's six that are going to have the opportunity to draw closer to God and to get that Jesus overhaul. So praise the Lord.
That's an awesome testimony. Thank you for sharing it.
So.
That's awesome to hear.
Well, I know you have some callers, and I'll bring them on as soon as they get on, and I'll be listening in.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good.
Welcome, everyone, to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have had a Jesus overhaul. And it's probably the Holy Spirit that prompted Richard to say that, because I was turned to page 109, and Pastor Cox's book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and it has a chapter title. It says, Who Do You Know Who Needs a Jesus Overhaul? And I'm going to read that real quick. There are so many Christians who are tormented. Look at your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, people you work with, including some of your church friends who are struggling. Many have issues with fear, panic attacks, anger and rage, chronic stress, depression, anxiety, addictions to nicotine, cocaine, gambling, and pornography. Even some have illnesses that may be a spirit of infirmities. It's not hard to walk around and not find someone from suffering from one of these, and that's what's so great about this show, is it brings people on who have experienced these things, like many of us have out there, and they give their testimony of how Jesus gave them an overhaul, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they're giving their word of testimony. Praise the Lord.
And what Jesus did in those days, Ralph, he's, of course, still doing it and using us as his vessels in his name. I pinch myself that God would use little us like this. I often say that, but it's just so amazing. I have a mortgage banking background. Who am I to be doing this? But life has its interesting twist. And so 40 years later, I'm still doing it. And, of course, we keep doing it because it keeps working, and we keep hearing the testimonies, and we have a couple of good testimonies, or really three testimonies tonight that are edifying and build faith. And as people hear what the Lord did for someone out there, it soaks in that the Lord's likely to do it for them. Even though we've recognized there's various steps that sure make the job easier, and that's what's in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and the steps that our ministers use. We had officially 19 cases that raised their hands for ministry this last Monday, but the total when the smoke cleared was, Richard tells me, it was 21, Richard in our office. The total was 21, because there were some others taking place that we didn't have official reports on. So, praise God, it was another full evening of turning the tables on the enemy. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's 21 people whose life was turned around in just a couple of hours. And we just praise the Lord and thank you for that. And, of course, if you want that book that we were just talking about, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that Pastor Cox has written, it's got nearly 40 years worth of experience laid down in it, you can get that by calling the office there with our Richard, 307-742-7582. You can go to the website, deliveranceusa.com. I believe there's a way to even order it on there. And if you don't have the... You don't have the means to purchase the book. Everything on the website's free. And if you don't have the means to purchase it or how to give the offering, I know we'll get it sent out to you, because it is a great manual to help those overcome. And who does that work? Just like Pastor Cox said, little old me, little old pastor, little old all you out there. I mean, it's real simple. If you're a believer in Christ, you're covered by the blood. You're commissioned. You're commissioned to walk in this. And that's me. I know that's Pastor, and that's many of you out there. And if you're not operating in that function somehow, you're really denying yourself part of the gospel to help others. So just realize that we have that power over the spirits. We have that power over demons. We have that power to cast them out. And it's just a great thing to sit back. It's actually a humbling thing, really, not a great thing. It is a great thing that's being done in the name of Jesus, but it's really humbling to think and sit back that the Lord can work in little old me to do that. And it's even more humbling to think, greater things than these I shall do also. And we've often talked on this program, night in and night out through the past couple, 3 years, about forgiveness. And Pastor, I came across something yesterday that I wanted to read on forgiveness. It's real simple. But man, it really, really gets to the point. It says, forgiveness is a choice. It may not change your past, but it will brighten your future. And that is just to sums up what it is, because
yes.
Forgiveness is not for the offender. It's for the one who was offended. And
yes.
It's a simple choice. It's a simple choice. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and thank goodness Richard was taking some notes, because he got it out to me, and I completely forgot about it. And he sent it out to me, and it was, here, I'm trying to get it out. I don't have it ready. It was a message by Pastor Peters that was brought out. There it is. That was brought out years ago. It's number C623. It's message 623 called Love the King. And I would think that he had been experiencing deliverance for years when I heard this message, because Pastor shows laid that in there perfectly, just how to forgive. The command there is to forgive, and that you should forgive. So I highly recommend this sermon to anyone out there. Love the King. You can get that at Scriptures for America, 307-742-7582. And that's CD number 623. And I listened to it twice this week, and I'll probably listen to it some more, because it just really, really hits home to forgive. And that is a big door opener that we have found, isn't it, Pastor?
Oh, my goodness. And it's so huge. Most everybody that comes, if they've not been through deliverance and learned to do this, they've got that door open. You know, the flesh does not want to accommodate that. The flesh would rather get revenge. That's the flesh. But the Bible is so extreme in telling us what to do, that we are to forgive. And otherwise, as Jesus said in Matthew 18:34-35 in the King James, we will be turned to the tormentors. And the people that come have generally around 36 tormentors. And that's minimum with some of them. So after a full evening of 5-6 hours of teaching and ministry, and they get their Jesus overhaul, but they did it, the primary door was unforgiveness. And a lot of that goes clear back to childhood, we find, when we do what's called inner healing, where Jesus goes in and takes the bad feelings connected to various events, memories, and traumas of the past. So, praise God, it's all out there for he that will reach out. But it does take reaching out. We have some people that are brought there for ministry, and they're not reaching out. Someone wanted them delivered, but they weren't interested in their getting delivered. So, you know, God will not go against self-will, but if the person's ready, Jesus is, and there's plenty of those people. We did 776 people last year, and we should hit around 850 this year, of ministering to them. And in every case, unforgiveness is a big issue.
I know that the few that I have done, that forgiveness, just watching the people go through the breaking of ungodly soul ties, which deals with the forgiveness issue, and you can just really see it as a change in them as they go through there, and the heaviness lifted off of them. And this can work for any of this. I mean, this could work for something as simple as somebody bullying you when you were a child, possibly someone, you know, God forbid, molestation or rape in their life, all the way down to, you know, just anger with parents. And there's just so much to this forgiveness. And, you know, it doesn't only just say that I'll hand you over to the torturer or the tormentors, as the King James says. And here I'm looking at the New American Standard. It says the torturers. It says he handed over the tortures until he should repay all that was owed.
So, yes.
Yeah, that can be quite a bit, because the Lord has forgiven us for so much that when we try to get from everybody else, say, all right, I'm just going to hand you over.
It's so interesting, Ralph. It's so interesting too, when a person does a forgiving, everyone feels so much better. You know, yeah. They had a blanket of heaviness on them just for that unforgiveness. And yeah. And it's for the person, not for the one who whatever they did, but it's for the person. And it sure is a good deal. So praise God, we'll keep at it and keep teaching it.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it seems like that it's at least once a week, if not more, just through my daily walk with people that I'm talking to them about forgiveness. Before I went through deliverance myself, it's like I knew it was there, but I didn't understand it.
Yes.
Well, I was the same way. Praise God. Yep. Praise God. I have learned to forgive. And it's just a simple choice. And when the spirits are gone, the flesh is pretty easy to control. Wouldn't you say that, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact is, so many times, the spirits will not even go as long as they're still unforgiveness. I tell the teams over and over in the teaching of the new people, especially, that if the person has not covered all the forgiving of themselves, of others, or even for needing to forgive God, if they blame God for something that's happened in their life, and not thinking about what Satan is doing out there, many have done that. And so it's a process, but praise God, anyone can go through it and score if they'll just go for it and reach out.
Yes, yes. And a simple thing to remember, if you're having trouble with forgiving somebody and something's stirred up and you start thinking about Bob had done something to you, it may have been recently, may have been years ago, you could just say something as simple as this: well, I forgive Bob and I bless Bob. And just by speaking those words, you may not believe it at first, but if you continue to speak it, you speak the word starts performing itself about forgiveness and blessings, and before you know it, the heaviness is removed. And I practice that just walking around or driving around, something will happen, and instead of getting angry, I'll just, you know, well, Lord, bless that person and forgive that person, especially driving. And I used to suffer from road rage quite a bit. And today there's just a peace about me when I'm driving. So, Pastor, we have our first caller. Is it Dee? Dee, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, it's Davicia. Yeah, thank you for calling. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, well, Davicia, I know you have some exciting testimony to share on your deliverance and all, but why don't you go ahead and give us some history on yourself and when you were mm-hmm. born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share on it that you've seen or had.
Absolutely. So I got saved when I was 7 years old. I remember hearing about Jesus and just knowing that I needed forgiveness, and I accepted Jesus when I was 7, and I was baptized then. But I had an experience with the Holy Spirit when I was about 14 or 15 years old. I had attempted suicide at the age of 14. It was a very weak attempt, just crying out for attention and dealing with a lot of depression. I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. At that time, I was being oppressed by spirits. I didn't know what they were. And through that experience, the only way I could get control of myself, my stepmother asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And by that age, I actually knew what I was saying. And I knew that Jesus was the only way I could be free from what was oppressing me. And that was at the age of 15.
How was it oppressing WCF? What was it doing? Yeah. How was it?
Well,
I
wasn't sure. I wasn't exactly sure. I grew up in a Baptist church, and so we weren't taught about, we were taught that the Holy Spirit was your conscience, and that the book of Acts was the last, acts of the Holy Spirit. And so, and we weren't taught about demonic anything at all, So I didn't actually know what was going on. Looking back on it, I know that there were three demonic spirits that were controlling me. One was a spirit of anger and rage. One was a spirit of lust, mm-hmm. and the other was a spirit of suicide. Yeah.
Wow.
When I went to a church service, I was very involved in the church, like I said, my whole life. Very involved. And I went to a church service with our youth department. And at that church service, at a different church, they were operating in the Holy Spirit. And so I came in contact with the Holy Spirit in a different way at that church. And it was on the way home from that service that all of a sudden, I believe, and I remember, it felt like there was a war going on for my soul. And those demons were speaking out of my voice. I was wearing a Tasmanian devil necklace, well, a charm on the necklace. It was gold. My mom had given it to me. It got snatched off of my neck, and we never, ever found it inside the car.
Wow.
When I got home from the church service, I was sitting in the floor of my house. And remember, we're Baptist. So I'm sitting in the floor of the living room, and all my dad knew to do was turn off all the lights. And they sat there looking at me as I'm sitting on the floor rocking back and forth, speaking. You know, they're hearing a different voice coming out of my mouth and not knowing what to do. My stepmother asked me, called me by my name, and I was able to answer her. And she asked me if I wanted to make Jesus the Lord of my life and accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I was able to answer yes. And that was the only thing that made those demons go away or stop, or I'm not even sure what the word would be for that. But I never had that type of experience with a demon ever again after that. So I came in contact I got baptized again when I was 22 because I couldn't remember my first baptism when I was 7, and I wanted it to mean something. So to me, I wanted to remember it, and I wanted to just have that experience of being baptized. So I got baptized again when I was 22, and I heard about deliverance from a coworker. I had been explaining to her some challenges that I had with combat-related PTSD because I'm a veteran, and she recommended the deliverance service for me. So I wanted up there.
So when you came then, what all went on?
Well, initially there was the minister was talking to us about deliverance and what it is, and we did the initial closing of all the doors, the gateways, which spoke to me quite a bit, and, you know, forgiving everybody that we could think of forgiving, and I wanted to be free so bad that I didn't care who I had to forgive, but I had a really hard time with forgiving myself. Yeah, I think that's the only person that I struggled with forgiving during that part of the service. And so I went through and the sheet, and I had previously, you know, circled all of the areas that I was having trouble, where I was being bothered, and there was a lot. And I had gotten married to someone that said he was a believer, that I don't think he actually is. Just his actions and the things that he would say. I wasn't allowed to listen to Christian music in the car with the family in the car with me. I wasn't allowed to listen to Christian music in the house. If he was there, he would turn it off. But he said he was a believer. So I believe that marriage that I was in opened the door for the devil, really, to oppress me. Whereas before, I didn't have those challenges. I didn't have that influence in my life, but I felt like during the last 3 years that I've been married, I had those, just some serious demonic oppression going on, and I couldn't understand how it, you know, came in my life. But I believe it came through that doorway of who I was yoked with. So when we went through breaking soul ties and closing all those gates and doors with my, I actually had 3 ministers working with me. I guess they discerned that I needed a lot of work. The 3 ministers that were working with me, they discerned a lot. Everything that they discerned was spot on. There were things that they discerned that I hadn't even thought of. And after the more clear my mind came, and we were there for 4 hours. So the more clear my mind came, the more I could, oh, this is what you're, you know, if one person discerns something or got a word of knowledge about something, if I would realize, oh, this is what you were talking about, but I couldn't see it. It's like my mind was blocked at first. But the more we went through it, the more clear my mind came, the more I could remember important things to get delivered from. So it was like Satan had, not only was he oppressing me, but he was blocking my mind to where I couldn't even see what I was being oppressed by or how he was able to gain access into my life. He's a tricky devil there. So we went through a lot of things. I wish I could give you every single thing we did, but the one thing that stood out the most was when they called out the spirit of Leviathan. And I remember we were praying about something, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but all of a sudden my head started spinning. But it wasn't like my head spinning because I have high blood pressure or anything, because I don't have issues with blood pressure or anything like that, but it was like the room was spinning. And all of a sudden, I felt the sensation of my entire body turning and being twisted, like if someone was, like the way you wring out a towel, that's the way my body mm-hmm. was turning. And but not physically, but I could almost see it in my spiritual mind. And one of the young women asked me what was happening, and I tried to describe it to her, and the only thing that the word that came out was, it's bending me, it's trying to bend me and twist me and turn me. And she said, she called it out, the spirit of Leviathan, and they prayed that spirit would come out, and I commanded it to come out. And I had been experiencing tightness in my chest, almost like a panic attack is what we would call it in the mental health field, where just all of a sudden you feel like you can't breathe, like you just, like you're panicking, but for no reason, or hyperventilating even. I have been experiencing that. I have not experienced that since then. I have been drinking about 20 ounces of coffee every single day. Like I cannot function without it every day. There's been days since then that I didn't have any coffee at all. I tell myself, I don't even need coffee, which is amazing. Yeah.
Praise God.
So there's been a lot of, there's been a, one, another major, major change is when we were doing the forgiveness, I could pray for and forgive and bless my cousin. There's a lot of abuse in that relationship, a lot of emotional abuse, and even spiritual abuse. You know, using the Bible out of context and trying to, I wasn't allowed to take my, I had to ask my son if he wanted to go to church. I would go to church alone a lot, and it was very humiliating and hurtful. And I was able to forgive him and bless him. And now, I've been able to, we've been estranged, but I've been, God's been moving on my heart to treat him with kindness. And, you know, send him pictures of my daughter and just be very gracious towards him. And, even ask him if he wants to spend time with her, even though it's my visitation. And he doesn't know how to take it. I think he's paranoid, but God's just been moving on my heart to treat him with kindness and love and mercy and grace, which there was very little of that before. I was very hurt. He's never apologized or had shown any kind of remorse for anything he's done, and I wasn't open to being kind or merciful or gracious towards him because I didn't think he deserved it, and I was afraid that it would be used against me. But now I just have no fear and boldness about it, and I'm okay with it. It doesn't scare me. It's like, you know, what would you like to have more time with her? You know, would you need anything? You need diapers? And it feels good to do that. It feels good to have the Holy Spirit moving, able to move through me like that towards him. Because I didn't think that would ever happen moving forward in my life. And now it's possible. And not just with him, but just with anyone. I heard a little snippet of someone talking before I came on about driving I have about almost an hour commute, and I can tell you, I've gotten to work angry. That's supposed to be my worship time, because in the past, I would, you know, someone cut you off or driving too slow or slam on their brakes or whatever. Now it's just, my thought is, well, you know, maybe they just weren't paying, maybe they weren't paying attention, maybe something startled them. Like, I'm more gracious. I notice I'm more gracious towards people now, and just willing to forgive quickly. And I guess I don't ever want to be in bondage like that ever again either. So,
yes.
But I'd rather move out of love and not fear. So, yeah, praise God.
And what you're experiencing, of course, is the real you now. You were always in there.
Yes.
But those spirits mm-hmm. will cover a person over so that the real person can sometimes hardly get to the surface. And the demons even will manifest, come up to surface, you know, and through the course of a day or a week or whatever. And Leviathan that you mentioned is a high-ranking spirit that we see often, a head demon, I've found. And of course, it's mentioned several times in the Bible. It's serpent-like and tends to, just like a python, it tends to coil around the person. And I've seen people doing what you were saying, kind of weaving around, you know, moving around as this thing uncoils, you know, and finally comes off. The person's actually going around the circle a little bit. That's kind of what you experience, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I did not know it was a high-ranking demon. I know that I have experienced that twisting and bending for several years, and I didn't know what it was.
Wow.
And I love Jesus, and I love the Lord. I love His Word, but yet I would experience that, and I would even experience that in church. You know, during the church services, I've had that experience during prayer, and I didn't know that it was a demon. And I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Now that I do, I can, if that demon gets bold enough to try to, you know, come against me in the future, I know, tell him to go to see Jesus right now. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that, because, you know, Jesus' people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that was one thing that I actually prayed to the Lord about, you know. I said, I want to be who you, when God imagined me before I ever was a twinkle in my parents' eye, I want to fulfill that in the earth. Whoever He wants me to be, that's who I want to be. And so I can do what He purposed for me to do. I want Him to get glory through my life. And I'd asked Him for that earlier this year. So I know that that service is, a huge part of that. And I plan on going back. We're not done. We have more work to do. But that was a huge start. So, hallelujah.
The enemy tried to take you out. But the deal is that if you're a Christian, you're under attack. And so the good news being from the cross, we've been given the tools and the weapons to deal with the enemy so we can be free. And that's what you were doing in your deliverance service that you experienced. And think how many more are just like you out there, Tavisha. Think of it, how many are out there experiencing what you were.
There's so many. I encounter people every day. I'm a therapist, and I encounter people, you know, mental health challenges every day. We call them mental health challenges, but they're demonic oppressions and possessions. And we're trying everything we can to help people, just to help them, keep them around, you know, and not die, you know, to give them some level of functionality and stability. And I know that it is Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit, it is His Word that brings about the true freedom, the true deliverance, true freedom.
Yes.
So what we do in our field is just kind of stabilize people. I kind of see us as like the ER. And Jesus is a true healer, because he brings people completely out. And one major area for me when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and that was something that I did not want to carry, that label. I didn't want it. And I said, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that on my heart and my head. And I asked God for healing, for recovery of who I am, and to not be bound by that fear. And someone, one of the ministers, actually spoke out about, you know, something from nations that was impacting me. Because I had been to other nations, I've been to other countries, and I felt when I was in other countries, I could feel the spiritual presence there. And so I know that I brought some of that back home, and I know that impact that diagnosis, well, and spiritually, I know what it is also. So I just think that there is an assault on us as Christians and as Americans, and, you know, we don't really realize when we go to other countries, we don't know that the people in that nation have beliefs too. And so if the people in that nation don't want us there and they're practicing any kind of witchcraft, you better believe that it's going to affect us. And we can call it PTSD, but who knows what's being, you know, spoken over those soldiers in those other countries.
Well, Davisia, we have our other caller coming in, but just quickly, in the remaining seconds, what would you say to the listeners there in winding up? Davisia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did we lose Davisia?
I think.
I'm here. I just hear some other people talking.
I think that's all right. Our next caller is about there, Davisia. She's there waiting on the line. Do thank you for coming on and giving your testimony.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I think you're spot on. I've talked with Pastor about that with our soldiers and being over in other countries that have other gods, especially over in the far east in these Muslim countries, they're definitely picking stuff up. I'm a firm believer. My father spent 3 tours in Vietnam, and I'm convinced from what I've learned now that there were some things that he'd picked up that he was having trouble dealing with when he gets over. So thank you for your testimony. Wonderful testimony.
God bless you, and good night.
Thank you. God bless y'all. Bye.
Loopy, are you there?
Yes, I am there, but I can barely hear you.
Okay, Richard, maybe you could turn the gain up a little bit on my side.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better, Everett.
Okay, well, Ralph's on here with me up in Missouri, co-hosting, and that was Richard that, up in Wyoming in the control room, so we're spread all around here. But
I've got Cheryl on the line too. That after I talk, she will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, however you all would like to do it, maybe
Cheryl, say hi so he first, can see if he can hear him.
Hi, Everett. I can barely hear Everett.
Okay, Richard. Maybe a little more game yet. Turn it up a little bit. More. Well, Loopy, why don't you go ahead and lead off on talking about the deliverance you've had, and then Cheryl maybe could go ahead and after that and give her testimony on how it's gone in her life.
Okay. I was delivered a year ago in March, and after I had such freedom, I ended up deciding to be a minister, and the powerful things that I have learned in the ministry and have gotten an opportunity to see, it's like every ministry is so different, and the things that God's doing in that individual's life is so powerful. For myself, I ended up getting rid of fear, judgment, shame, condemnation, lust, I was molested as a three-year-old, and so that's what opened the door to that. And I thought there was something wrong with me all these years, and the fact that God was able to get rid of all that, you just, until you've walked through something like this, you have no idea what kind of freedom there is for you. And the things that I tell people is, it put the flesh to death. You know how Paul talks about putting the flesh to death? That's how I best can describe it to Christians. And so it actually intrigues them to want to know more and want to be able to be set free instead of having to fight the flesh all the time. And so one of the gals, Cheryl, that's on, that you'll be hearing her testimony, I did a ministry with two women the same night. They both knew each other, and both ministries were totally, totally different ministries. Cheryl had been, like myself, had been a Christian for a lot of years, and she was talking about she always prayed for her son-in-law, but never realized that she was hanging on to stuff, some of the emotional baggage that we talk about on that problem list. I call it emotional baggage. I know it's demons, but most people are accepting of it a little bit better. When you call it emotional baggage, we can understand that. So she was hanging on to some stuff, and when we did something the Holy Spirit's been teaching me is how to do soul ties right along with getting rid of some of that emotional baggage together. Anyway, when we cut off those soul ties spiritually and she ended up letting that go, she literally felt that leave her. She said, I was carrying it in the back of my head. She said, I had no idea. She had some other experiences, and what I'm going to do is let her jump on and let her talk a little bit about what she went through. And then if there's a couple of things that she's left out, then I'll highlight, and we're going to go back and forth on that. Cheryl, can you hear everybody?
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah.
And Cheryl, give some history on yourself, too. Give some history on yourself, if you would.
Okay.
Go ahead and give some history on yourself.
My mother was killed in a car accident about 35, 36 years ago. And I was very close to my mother. And, you know, that long ago, there were no tools or no places to go to get counseling, or you just didn't know anything about grief. And I was very young. And I had two small children. And so, you know, I didn't know how to work through that or what to do. And then the following year, 1 year later, my husband was killed in an accident. And so here I am, back to back with such loss and trauma from that, and I have two small children to raise, and I just go through the motions of everyday life and just do the best I can and try to get through it and raise my kids. And so life goes on, and years down the road, I remarry again, and so that brings us up to about 6 years ago. Well, let me say this. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1997, became born again,
mm-hmm.
and had a very close relationship with God, and I feel like over the following years, I just didn't stay as close to him as I should have. And so I struggled with my faith and remarried again. And so that brings us up to about 6 years ago. I have a daughter who went through a divorce, and she had been married 20 years, had four children, went through a divorce, and her divorce literally tore our entire family unit apart. It destroyed her children because she kind of went off the deep end and began to hang around the wrong people, and she got into drugs, and she would abandon her children. And so, you know, I had to try and step in and help with that. And it just destroyed our immediate family as well. But her husband, her ex-husband and I just didn't have a good relationship. He is an alcoholic, and he was very verbally abusive to her and her children. So that divorce happened 6 years ago. Well, the following year after they divorced, my husband is diagnosed with brain cancer, and 3 months later he dies from that.
Oh, wow.
So that death brought back all the grief from my mother's death and my first husband's death, and it literally just about took me out because I hadn't dealt with any of that. I didn't know how. And just what my daughter's divorce had done to our family, all of that together was so traumatic that I could not function day to day. I could hardly work. And I went to the doctor, and because I couldn't sleep at night at all. My mind would never shut off. But I just isolated myself. I would go to work and go home and not talk to people, and stop going to church for a while even. But I go to the doctor, and he puts me on Ambien to help me sleep 6 years ago. And so I'm just isolated for the last 3 or 4 years and have withdrawn. And, you know, I just felt consumed with depression and anger. I could tell my life was, it really was not what God had intended it to be. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do to fix it. And I would pray about it. I would talk to God about this. But I just wasn't getting any answers or any relief from any of it. And I just was mad at the world and everybody around me. Which brings me to meeting Lupe about 7, almost 8 weeks ago. I met her at our women's ministry group that meets every week. And I had asked her to pray when I went to my very first meeting that night. God drew me to her, and he spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to ask this woman to pray with you." And I walked right up to her. I had no clue who she was, and I just walked up to her, and asked her if she would pray with me.
Praise God.
And just told her a little, you know, a short version, and we did. And I told her, I said, God told me to come to you. Looking back, I know now why he did, because that next week when we met, she said, "Cheryl, I really would like to see you come through the deliverance ministries with me." She said, "I think this would help you so much with what you've been through, and it would just give you some answers that you're searching for." And I said, "I'm there. When can I go? Sign me up." And so that following week, I came.
And praise God.
And actually, I had to come back. You know, I've gone twice, but the first night when I left there that evening, I felt like 30 years worth of anger and confusion was totally gone, like it had never existed. It was just gone. I felt like I could see clearly and think clearly. And I could see that God had been with me all along. I was so buried in pain and unforgiveness and anger that I couldn't see that he was there the whole time. but he was waiting for me to reach out and claim a healing with him. He was waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
was
their deliverance. I was bound up in fear, Everett. For the last 6 years, I've had such fear, such a stronghold of fear on me, that I wouldn't go in public and I wouldn't talk to people. But a fear of how will I take care of myself? What if this happens? What if that happens? And that was one of the first things I told Lupe that night was, I have to overcome this fear. And do you know that fear was immediately broken off of me?
Praise God.
All of that, the confusion, the fear, the anger. I walked out of there with a joy in my heart that I don't think I've ever had. I don't recall ever feeling the peace I had that night when I left there. It's a peace I hadn't known for 30 years, I will tell you that. But just the unforgiveness, I was so bound up in that is why I don't think I was not going to be able to heal from the last 30 years of all of this until I'd learned that I needed to forgive all of these people in my family and all that played a part in all of this trauma. I had to learn to forgive every person in order for me to be healed from all of those things that I was bound up in. And it was immediate. It was an immediate release and healing once I was able to do that.
Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. And
I will say this, coming back the second night to just kind of finish up, because we ran out of time the first night, Lupe said, before you leave, we're going to break that bondage of that, the addiction of the Ambien off of you, Cheryl. And I said, oh, yes, I want to be done with that. I want out from under that. I just don't want to be a prisoner to that drug anymore. Because I have taken it 7 nights a week for the last 6 years. Because if I didn't take it, I would be up all night. You know, that would be the devil's way to keep me bound up, was I just wouldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed that night for deliverance from that last week. And that very night, I went home, did not take the Ambien, slept like a baby, and I have slept like every night since.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Was completely delivered from Ambien that night, right on the spot.
Cheryl, let me tell you about the very first night, the very first session we had, Everett. She was telling me about her boss.
Yes.
And she was telling me that her boss hated her and they just didn't like each other and had a horrible...
Very verbally abusive to everyone in the office.
So mm-hmm. As we're doing session, the Holy Spirit tells me to tell her. I said, tell her that she is loved. And this was what is so awesome about God, the Holy Spirit, is because we learned something new that night. As I said the words that she is loved, the other young lady that was in the session with us, she said she heard it. She said, I see her in her kitchen bending over to pick something up, but mm-hmm. in the spirit she heard that she is loved. And ever since that night, Cheryl has said that she has not been mean to her, has not done, they've actually
hasn't
got
been,
along.
Yeah, hasn't been verbally abusive to anyone in the office, has been a joy to be around every day since.
Praise God. Awesome.
Isn't that something? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. When you speak it and breathe life into it, it'll be done.
But so through these sessions, what I've seen is how powerful our words are, that they can cut through. Even for, we don't know how far that lady is, but we're speaking life into a lady that did not even, probably didn't even like herself.
Enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But didn't like herself, and mm-hmm. it, she wasn't there.
Yeah, that's right.
And now she's had a turnaround in her life. Well, we're about out of time. Cheryl, why don't you just wind up with a few seconds there of sharing anything else in terms of what you'd like to say to the people before we wind up and sign off?
I can tell you that I've seen a lot of restoration taking place in my daughter's life, the one that went through the divorce. And you can't stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them. So my ex-son-in-law, I have always prayed for him, but it's helped me to pray differently for him. I'm just seeing a lot of change and a lot of healing right before my eyes in my family members. So God is
praise
at work
God.
There. And a lot of bondage and a lot of chains were broken off of our family through the deliverance that night. And I'm seeing it right now.
Hallelujah.
So it has been life-changing,
well, that's our Jesus.
Not just for me, but for my family.
The supernatural has taken place. Well, thank you so
yes,
much for
has.
Calling in, Lupe, Cheryl.
Yes, ladies.
That was awesome.
Yes, ladies. Thank you.
Tonight. We'll
thank
talk
you
to
guys
you later.
For everything yes. that you do.
Thank you so
God
much.
Bless you. We appreciate you coming on. God bless.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, I think she kind of hit it on the nail about being angry and pray. I'll tell you, before 3 years ago, before deliverance, there was a lot of anger in some of my prayers. I mean, I was quick to call down fire and with anyone that disagreed with me, anyone. And now I pray with the mercy and grace that I'm sure that someone had to be in praying for me, or I would have never escaped where I was. And in that message that Pastor gave that I was talking about, talking about the story of the death of Stephen, and aren't we glad he didn't call down fire when he was being stoned to death, because Paul was in that audience holding everybody's coats, and if he had not given that forgiveness, the Lord may have never held that taken that account off of Paul. So you never know when you free someone from forgiveness, how the Lord can work with that person. And
yes.
it definitely works with you when you practice forgiveness, because it frees you. And again, I'm going to read that quote because I just thought that was an awesome quote. Forgiveness is a choice. It may not change your past, but it will brighten your future. It'll definitely change your future. And you never know when you forgive who you're releasing, that the Lord can work with them. And we do thank you for joining us this evening. We will see everybody next week. And God bless. Good night, Pastor.
God bless you.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
to overcome,
ooh,
all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you,
nothing will harm you,
nothing will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.